The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's Marvelous Monday, and the third time we're broadcasting from Spoon Studios. How fun is this? And joy and peace are ours through the Holy Spirit. So if you're lacking joy and you're lacking peace, I can tell you one of the things you need to do, have good fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Don't forget, being nice and kind, watch this, doesn't need to be an act. It can actually be something we really want to do. And finally, the Prince of Peace is God's proof of his passion for us.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. And I know some of you are doing a little more surviving than you planned on doing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. Yeah, I still got them. Basically, spiritual observations, as smart as they are or are not, and my life's insanities that I have in spades. Just keep in mind, don't forget, whatever we're doing, whatever we're approaching, it's not professional radio. I know you guys know that. And we're going to ask you to text during this show. Why? Because we're just goofy enough to do it. Because we have, oy vey, so much to give you. So here's what we're going to say to you. We're going to have a trivia question. You get a chance to text. If you want to text me a prayer request or a praise report or an answer to the trivia, we're going to let you do that. You're going to have a chance to do that by doing it to this number, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. It's okay to do it. It's okay if you don't have a perfect answer, a perfect text. Just remember, it's not professional radio, so your text doesn't have to be professional either. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. The show must go on. We have taken some steps to add a little bit even more quality to the show, and we're getting a new headset that's going to be sent to us in the next couple of days so that perhaps it could be a little less tin canny-ish. We'll do our best and see what we can do. But we do have to cover our holidays because that's one of the things that we love to do on the show is cover some of the interesting things that are supposed to be taking to place. And I have to start off with my fave today. For those of you that don't know it, today is I'm in control day. Is that funny or what? Today is I'm in control day. Like, wrong answer there. You're not in control. And as you can tell, it only takes one virus to basically, in 3 weeks, shut down the economy, shut down the churches, shut down a lot of the different activities. But guess what? It takes a lot more than that to remove God from the situation. God's not going anywhere. He's not far. He's not disappeared. He's not on Pluto. He's right there with us. So while they tell you, well, we've got it all under control, yeah, look, only God has it fully under control. So keep that in mind and rest in that. Rejoice in that. Find peace in that. For those that want to know the rest of it, it's Take a Walk in the Park Day. You can't do that with more than 10 or more people, just to let you know. It's Turtleneck Soup Day. I have no idea what that is, and I'm kind of afraid to ask. And it's National Doctors Day, and you should let your doctors know, if you have any contact with them, how much you appreciate the stuff that they're doing. I will tell you just a couple of things that are pertinent to this day on March 30th. Jeopardy! In 1964 had its first airtime on television on this day, March 30th, 1964. Also, this is amazing, might be the most amazing thing you hear today. In 1993, on this day, almost almost 30 years ago, 28 years ago today, is a comic strip, Peanuts, Charlie Brown hits his first ever game-winning home run. So for those that think it can never happen, Charlie Brown has shown you, no, that's not true. It can happen. In 1858, Hyman Lippmann patented a pencil that had an attached eraser.
That's really important.
And then finally, for those that don't know, on this day in 1867, Alaska was purchased for $7.2 million. Such a deal we have for you, right? Such a deal we have for you. Hey, you want to buy this land? Only $7.2 million. What's it worth now? Like a trillion? Oh, okay. Here we go. We're going to do our first trivia question. You get a chance to text to it. See if you're comfortable. I certainly don't want you doing this while you're driving. So if you're driving, just kind of listen along, have a good time, and let the Lord encourage you, because that's really the most important thing. Very simple question in regards to Saul, in regards to King Saul in the Old Testament, who anointed him king? Who anointed King Saul that he was king? 214-210-8483. 214-210-8483. I want everybody to be doing good. I know that there's a lot of challenges that are going on. My wife has been consistently working. For those that don't know, she works in a grocery store, so they've had their share of challenges, but they're working hard to make it good for everybody. Here's the biggest thing. Do not live your life in this fear that it's all going to end. Because if it's all going to end, that means the Lord comes back, and it's fantastic. That's a great thing. The Lord I have seen in people's lives that I've talked to in the last week and a half, the Lord seems to be doing deep works in people's lives. So if you're just too busy and running about and you're not taking enough time to relax and to listen to the Lord and to be quiet before the Lord, I'm telling you, the majority of the testimonies on the people that I've talked to, and you're talking Christians all across the nations, all across, not just this nation, but multiple nations, they are finding that the Lord is doing a deep work within them. And I just think that's absolutely, absolutely fantastic. By the way, somebody already answered the question, and that was correct. Samuel was the person. Very good. Samuel was the person that anointed Saul. Excellent way to start the show. Let me go right into Samuel. See that nice little lead-in? 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 5 through 6, and here's what it says. It should be 2 Samuel, now that I'm looking at. David sent messengers to the men of Jabesh-Gilead and said to them, "May you be blessed of the Lord, because you have shown this kindness to Saul your Lord and have buried him. Now may the Lord show loving kindness and truth to you, and I also will show you this goodness to you as well, because you have done this thing." So David, reaching out to the men at Jabesh-Gilead, said, May you be blessed. May you be happy. May you be touched. May you be encouraged. May you be strengthened. Remember, the Beatitudes are attitudes that you should be. And he's like, may you be blessed because you've done this one cool thing. You've shown kindness. And I want to talk to you about that for a second. Because Christians are called to be people of kindness. Kindness is one of the fruits of the Spirit. If you're not sure what the fruits of the Spirit are, you got to go back in there and read Galatians chapter 5 and look at the fruits of the Spirit. This is one of the productions or produce that comes in the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, is to be kind. And you don't want, listen to me, you don't want to be kind as an act, as something false, as something fake. You don't have to have the perfect heart, the perfect mind, the perfect spirit in order to be kind to somebody and to do it because you actually love the Lord and you want to please him. You don't have to have everything lined up, and I want to say it in a way that people won't get offended. You don't have to be perfect on the inside to want to do it right before the Lord, because you know the Lord wants you to do it. He wants you to be kind because he's kind to you, and your kindness to others is a testimony to others. But sometimes I think we get caught up in, yeah, but I don't like those people. Or, yeah, but those people are mean or dumb or evil or stupid or, you know, a myriad of things or whatever they might be. And here's what I'm trying to tell you about that. I'm trying to tell you kindness, a fruit of the Spirit, which means that you have to be engaged with the Holy Spirit, is something in your life that you can give to people and do it as unto the Lord. And the Lord will not only bless them through your kindness, watch this. He'll bless you through your kindness. He'll bless you as well. If we are kind because we love the Lord and we want to please him, that's good. That's a good thing. It's not going to add to your tally sheet. It's not going to make you this, that, whatever. But if your motivation is you want to please the Lord, do you get that? If your motivation is that you want to please the Lord, then it's good. Why I'm saying that is this. There is a legalism system that works within Christianese and churchianity. And that legalism system says you have to have X amount of good works and X amount of this to get this, to be like this, to do this. I think that not only is it ridiculous, because it's far from the truth, it has a demonic element to it. You should want to be kind because God wants you to be kind. You should want to be kind because you love him and because he loves you, and you can be a vehicle of his grace to somebody else. Not because you're going to be religious, not because you're going to be super spiritual, but just so that you can be a vehicle of love. The love that changed your life so you can change somebody else's life. And you're thinking, Dave, you're spending 10 minutes talking about being kind. You want to know why I'm spending 10 minutes talking about being kind? Because Christians amongst ourselves are not very kind. We're very judgmental. We're very snap. We're very throw the dart. We're a lot like that. So I think for us to say, Lord, you've shown kindness to me. It's one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. It's something I need to be manifesting in my life. Help me to be just a little bit more kind because I love you and I want to reflect you better. I think that mindset is honorable. You're thinking, Dave, everybody's freaking out. This is happening. Wouldn't that be a fantastic testimony in the midst of the world freaking out? If you showed kindness because of the kindness that God has shown you, what a witness for Jesus Christ you would be. Get it? All right. Going to take a short break, and then we're going to come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Don't go anywhere.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
GOP congressmen's
gay son was going to come on their show, and they were going to talk to him, and CNN and MSNBC canceled the interview because he wouldn't criticize his father. He wouldn't downgrade his father because his father maintained his beliefs. His son becomes gay, makes a decision, by the way, to become gay. And the son will not criticize the father who does not change his Christian convictions. Will not change them. Father won't change them. Son will not criticize the father for that. MSNBC and CNN both canceled their interviews because the guy would not crucify his father. That is, of all things, as low as the press can go.
Hey, here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interests. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
Back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water, damage, call Mr. Restore.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I want to let you know a few things real quickly. One, you can reach us by going to the website, and the website is hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. I will tell you that since the restrictions have taken place and we have to do the show out of the house, our giving of course is down. I didn't expect it really to go any other way. If you're able to participate and give, we think that's great. We fully understand if you're not comfortable because you don't know what's happening. We get it. I go through the same thing. I'm in that same spot. But if you do have that opportunity to give, we encourage you to do so. HeMustIncrease.org, HeMustIncrease.org, pretty much in the middle, I think, of the website. You can also email me, David@HeMustIncrease.org, especially if you got any specific prayer requests, which I'm praying for people every day, and then if you got any praise reports, we love to share those. It's just a way for us to be in as much community as we can be. I recognize this is radio. It's 2 to 3, not your typical thing, and that's why I love it. It's not typical. That's why I like doing it. Facebook, don't forget, He Must Increase Ministry, and YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry.
Here I come to save the day. Yes, sir, when there is a wrong to right, he gets the situation well in hand.
Alrighty, now that's it. You got Mr. Restore, you got fire and water damage cleanup, sewage removal, other restoration services. It's raining all over Texas. There's wind, there's flood, there's yuckity-yuckity all over the place. Not a problem, because you got somebody that will help you out. Clint with Mr. Restore. Alright, it's very simple. Free evaluations, advanced drying technologies. They work with all the insurance companies. They're A-plus rated with the BBB, so they're really good. You CCC. Thousands of happy customers. That's always a good sign right there. Thousands of happy customers. You go to www.MrRestore.com. That's not hard. Mr. M-R. Restore. R-E-S-T-O-R-E. .com. They'll help you out with anything you need. They respond within 60 minutes of their first phone call. And it's really just a great company, great people. And we just want to encourage you also to be a participant and to be a prayer partner for the Adaptive Training Foundation, something that's close to Clint's heart and something that is close to Mr. Restore them as a company about helping people that have damaged limbs, 1, 2, 3, and 4 limbs that have been severed, and those people having no hope. They give them hope. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Just in your life right now, as hard as it is, how would you like to be going through life right now with no limbs? Be like, I'd have to have hope. I have to have something. Well, that's what the Adaptive Training Foundation does, is gives people hope. So we encourage you to use Mr. Restore. We encourage you to pray for the Adaptive Training Foundation and be a giver and just be a part of the Christian community that way. That is awesome. Okay. See, we pulled off another live read. Good job, Tiara. That's the way we do it.
I'm still having more fun than all you guys out there.
DNA, I got a chance to talk about this in my PhD class, or actually to write about it. I had some people really respond to that. DNA for a Christian right now is simplified. It's D for draw close to the Lord, N for never be ashamed, A for always be ready. That's our DNA. Draw closer to the Lord, D, never be ashamed, N, A, always be ready. That's the Christian DNA. I really encourage you guys to walk in the power of the DNA. Okay? Does that make sense? Okay. All right, here we go. I'm going to throw a little bit something else in your direction, just along the same line, see if you can come up with it. This is for a texting trivia question. Who was the enemy who took the Ark of the Covenant from Israel? Who was the enemy? What were the people? What kind of people? What were their name? What was their country, so to speak? Text 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. I feel bad because I'm still having more fun than everybody else, but I guess that's okay. In lieu of all of that, you know I like to share encouraging messages, and I like to do as much as I can. I like to encourage people, love on the church, but that does not mean we don't talk about sin. Now, I know there's some different movements and different groups that, you know, really stay away from sin, but I'm not one of them. Because the greatest thing in the world is the fact that where sin does abound, grace does much more abound, and it's important to understand that God, in His mercy and in His grace, enables us to push through, to carry through, and even when we fail, He's made arrangements for us to get through and to succeed. For those that are not aware, one day a year in the Old Testament was the day that the high priest was allowed to come into the very presence of God. Only one day a week in the Old Testament. One day. And that day on Yom Kippur was the Day of Atonement for the nation of Israel. It was the one day the high priest was enabled and allowed and permitted to come into the very presence of God in order to deal with the sins of the nation. I always saw that as a testimony from God saying, instead of running away from me when you sin, like Adam and Eve did, it's like he put a testimony in the law saying, on the one day that we're going to deal with your sins as a nation, I want the high priest to come into my actual presence. Come to me. Don't run away from me. And if you're a person that's stuck in sin, you're not alone. You're not the only person that's stuck in sin. That's why Jesus Christ died for us so that we can be free from that. And if you're a Christian and you're still stuck in some of those arenas, and a lot of Christians are, they won't say it because they're ashamed. I have a message for you. A bunch of Christians are stuck in things. You come before the Lord, you acknowledge it, you admit it, you confess it, and you ask Him to help you and to heal you and to forgive you, and you will find a newness of life that will change you forever. Having said all that, I need to talk about this one little story, and I'm not going to go into all of the scriptural reference. You are welcome to check it out, but I want to show you a principle about sin that exists, and that is simply this. Out of 2 Samuel 11, and I could literally read you the whole chapter, but I'm not going to. I'm just going to tell you the story of David and Bathsheba, co-starring Uriah the Hittite and Joab. Remember that whole story? David was supposed to be off, kings were making war, and he was at the palace, maybe wrong place, wrong time kind of mentality. But I want you to understand that David's one sin, when he slept with Bathsheba, that one sin led to this. Now follow me, okay? He was in the wrong place at the wrong time. He shouldn't have been there. He should have been out with war. He was looking from the rooftop or from the roof area where a king walks out. He probably shouldn't have been looking around. He, in fact, because had all the power, indirectly raped Bathsheba in a way that is would legally fall under that definition. He committed adultery and forced her to commit adultery. He involved other people. He then coordinated a bribery situation, and then he was doing stage Beijing, where he set up the military so that Uriah would get hurt. He also then created another sin where he encouraged military disloyalty to one another by trying to have him isolated and killed. He was involved in creating drunkenness. It was a conspiracy for murder. It was a forced compliance, and it was all self-justification. He has at least 12, David had at least 12 significant sins that came out of that one action. Now, why am I bringing that up, and what's the point? Here's the point. It's just one solid, truthful statement that you and I need to be aware of. One sin leads to many other sins. One, not just one moment of sin, but one planned, devious, connective, momentive decision to rebel against God creates involvement for other people, for other sins, for other iniquities. Remember, when we talk about sin, sin is missing the mark, and then you have, you have a transgression, which is missing the mark, kind of doing it on purpose, you know, a little more attitude-like, and iniquity is planning the whole thing out. This is iniquity at the top level. He planned the whole thing out. He coordinated. He lied about it. It was bribery, staging, drunkenness. There was a conspiracy for murder. It was essentially a hit job on Uriah. All of that because of the one thing he did not restrain himself from. And you think, well, I know, but I might have little sins, Dave, and they don't lead anywhere. One little sin leads to another little sin that's just a little bigger, which leads to another sin that's just a little bigger, which leads to another sin that's just a little bigger, which leads to another sin that's just a little bigger, until they're huge. And it's not that these sins are little and small in the sense of they'll send you to hell. Any sin will send you to hell. There's not seven deadly sins. Every sin is deadly. Every sin we commit against God can separate us from God from eternity, period. Okay? But if we're going to talk about it, you know, a sin of stealing a pack of gum is better as a result than the sin of shooting somebody in the head. But either one will send you to hell. That's not the point. The point is one sin leads to another sin, which leads to another sin, which leads to another sin. This is why we come before the Lord. We don't try and make stuff up. We don't try to be fake about it. You don't try and be religious about it. You don't try to be Christianese about it. You just be honest about it. Lord, I struggle with this. I'm having a hard time here. I need your grace. I need your mercy. I need your healing. Don't give up on me. Give me the strength. Give me the power of the Holy Spirit. Bring people into my life that will help me. Bring me to a place where I'm more responsive to you, and let that sin be washed away from me. All sin will separate you from God. And sin, by the way, the wages of sin is death. But there is a gift from God of eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And it's crucial that we be honest about it and forward about it and not be trying to hide around it. You get me? One sin leads to many others. So come to the Lord in his presence to get free from all of it. All right, we're going to take our short break, and then we're going to come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience.
There was a pastor, now I use that word with some reservation, having been involved in ministry and having the privilege of planting seven churches throughout the United States and having three separate ordinations, I have a tremendous amount of respect for people who commit their lives into ministry. But whenever there's somebody on television or anywhere else that is a nut job, then I just call it like I see it. Okay, nah, that's what I call it. Call it like I see it. On the Sean Hannity show, roughly about 2 weeks ago, a reverend, so-called Reverend Oliver White was on the show, and Reverend Wright said this, and I'm going to repeat it because some of these things are just unbelievable. He said that Jesus was wrong about marriage. At least he didn't have the audacity to say he never said anything about marriage. He said Jesus was wrong about marriage, and that marriage should be more than between a man and a woman. And then he proceeded to say this statement, ladies and gentlemen. He said this. Now, this isn't even the thing that's irritating. Then he proceeded to say this: if Jesus were alive today, he said, he would say, I didn't know it all. This is a man who's supposed to be representing Jesus Christ as a minister. This guy's no minister. And if you want to say, well, that's judging, I'll take that judgment all day long. All day long, I'll take that judgment, no matter what anybody says. Here's a guy that says two things. One, Jesus was wrong about marriage. Two, if Jesus were alive today, any person who proclaims or professes to be a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ and questions whether Jesus Christ is alive today or not is not a minister, but a false teacher. I don't care. I don't care if you like it. I don't care if you think that's mean. That's irrelevant. Facts are facts. And here's the thing that just overwhelms me. This overwhelms me, ladies and gentlemen. Any person who is in public office, now this goes with this, all three of these things go together. Any person who is in public office who changes their convictions about same-sex marriage because another family member has made a decision to go into the lifestyle of being gay or lesbian, any person who changes their convictions, their biblical Christian convictions, based on another family member changing their status into a gay or lesbian lifestyle, and then that person then changes their Bible convictions to accommodate their family member, is not fit to be a Christian. That's right. I said it.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Who was that preacher? Who was that preacher guy? That one I was able to hear. Most of the time I can't hear the stuff that's being played, so we're doing all of this by clock, but I got a little bit piece of that. That's a pretty good one. All right, a couple things to tell you. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Check it out. We have videos there. We have audios there, different things for encouragement. Plus, there's a link there to about 2,400 hours of podcast information where you can pretty much, you can get information on anything. If you ever need me to direct you in that, where you need to, hey, I wonder, did you ever teach about this and so forth, I can always send you links. Doesn't bother me. I love to do it. That's at hemustincrease.org. Also, email david@hemustincrease.org. David, that would be my name. He Must Increase, that's the name of the ministry, .org is because it's a 100% nonprofit ministry. David@hemustincrease.org. Facebook. See, that was my clue to Tiara to let her get the Kimberly one ready. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry on Facebook. And YouTube, also, He Must Increase Ministry. So Kimberly Ellis is one of our favorite people. I want to be able to get her and Tony into the studio, but I can't even get in the studio, just to let you know. So we're working on the conference calling thing. We're trying to pull that together. Here's the bottom line. First-time buyers, experienced investors, foreclosures, short sale. I can talk. It works every once in a while. Here's the bottom line. If you get in touch with her, she will walk you through the process no matter where you're at in the process. You can call her. It doesn't cost anything. She's not going to sit there and ask you to sign over your cat or your dog, I would say, or your children, but then some of you would call her right away so you could sign over your children, so that doesn't count. Here's the bottom line, 903-48-HOMES. 903-48-HOMES. You think, I'm going to call her and talk to her? Yes, exactly. Ask her questions. Get an idea. I know that things seem really weird right now, but even my son is in the midst of purchasing a different home right now. So here's the bottom line, 903-48-HOMES. That's the easiest way to get in touch with her. Also, you can go to HeMustIncrease.org, and under Best Ministry Partners Ever, she is listed there. So that's another easy way to get in touch with her. All right. So as you know, the first section, trying to talk to people about kindness. Second section, trying to talk to people about sin. Why? Because we want to cover it all. You don't want to cover some of it. In this section, we're going to cover about redemption from that sin. But before we do, we have a question that's on the text board, because that's the only way you can do this. You got to text us. The simple question is, who was the enemy who took the Ark of the Covenant? They took the Ark of the Covenant very early on, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. That's all. I can't give you much more than that because you have to be able to find that. 214-210-8483. What were the people's names? I can only give you the hint. They might have had a really large guy work with them back in the day. It's very simple. Who was the enemy who took the Ark of the Covenant? 214-210-8483. We just spent some time talking about sin, and that sin, one sin leads to another sin, which leads to another sin, which leads to another sin, especially if you look at something like David. And I think most people will recognize this. If you tell one lie to cover up one area, it just seems like then you have to cover another, and then you have to cover another, and then you have to cover another, and that never goes well. It just doesn't go good. And so the reality is that you come before the Lord, and you don't come before the Lord, and you don't, you know, go, yeah, I sinned, so what? I mean, that's not the attitude we're talking about, is it? We're talking about an attitude that comes before the Lord, and there's a genuine sorrow. There's a genuine repentance. And the reason that you're sorry isn't because you get caught, okay? Because I have a message for you. You're going to hate this. You have never sinned one time in your life that you didn't get caught. Not once. You have never stolen where it was unknown. You have never lied where it was unknown. You've never pulled off the great maneuver when it was not known. Because God has known every single time you've breached. Every time. And what it takes on our part is to come before the Lord and to acknowledge that, to yield to that, to surrender to that, and ask for his help in the process of that. There's a gift that comes from God, and it is eternal life through Jesus Christ. But there is a requirement for you and I to come and to come before the Lord. And here's what part of this process is. In Romans 5:1, it says, since we have been declared righteous by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of Jesus Christ, there is a declaration of righteous by God. So we have peace with God, and that foundation is built on Jesus. Okay? But if we are messing up, you need to be aware that you come before the Lord. You don't try and hide it. It's not that you were saved up to the moment, all your sins were forgiven, up to the moment that you got saved. And now that you're saved, they all count in a different way. It's like, listen, when Jesus saved you, he saved you from all your sins. And it's not his problem as much as your problem that you need to come before him if you're stuck in a sin and get deliverance from that, because only he can free you from the power of sin. And some sins, they linger on. Some sins disappear right away. We come before the Lord to get the answer and get the solution. In Romans 5:8, it says, God proves his own love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God proves that he loves us, that when we were away from him, that Jesus died for us, and that instead of enemies, we became friends with God. How much more true is that now that you are a friend of God? In other words, it doesn't revert the other way. Look, when you were apart from God, when you were in another land, when you were in another zone, in another place, God proved his love for you that by Christ dying for you. And now that you're a Christian, it doesn't go the other direction. You still come to him. All of those sins, when you were an enemy of God, were washed away. And God's not up there going, oh, well, now we got all these new sins. I don't know what to do. That's not how that works. Christ died for us while we were apart from him. So how much more applicable is that to the children of God who know they need his help, right? Here's what the scripture says, Romans 10:13. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That word saved is the word for salvation. It has to do with rescuing, deliverance, forgiveness, touch, restoration. It means all of that. And sometimes, even it's just one of those best illustrations, sometimes understanding these things through pictures is the best. You know, you were drowning and the Lord came and he saved you, right? But sometimes you go back out in the water and you slip on a rock and you start to drown again. He's the same one who saved you before. He's still got a boat there. And he's just got to call upon his name. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you have declared with your mouth Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you are saved. Just means that if you're stuck in stuff, you need more God. And you think, well, why do I need more of God? Because then you'll have less of being stuck in stuff. And we do it all the time. I want to make sure you understand this. When it says, everybody quotes John 3:16. Everybody talks about the sporting events, and the guy was at the sporting event, he's wearing a clown suit, he's got John 3:16. It's like, hey, it worked, let enough people notice. Here's the bottom line. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. It's not whether or not salvation lasts forever or there's eternal security. It's whether that faith that you operated with in the beginning is the same faith you have now. You have to continually believe. The King James says, believeth. I don't think you get any smarter than that. If you continually believeth. Not if you believed once, then you forgot about it, and then that's the end of that. It's not how it works. And so you come before the Lord, you seek his help, you be earnest, you be honest, you be truthful. And he's there for you. I mean, he's there for you. That's one of the things that I can't, I don't think I always catch myself, and I don't think I communicate it very well. God is there for you. Maybe what you're going through isn't necessarily a struggle that you would call sin. Maybe it's a struggle for you believing in the security that God has for you, or in the provision that God has for you, or in protections that God has for you. Or maybe you're just like stuck in this, you know, I'm really afraid. I'm afraid I'm just disappointing God, and everything I'm doing is offensive, and I'm not doing it right. Listen, even if that is exactly the case, come to him. Tell him that. No, it's not like you can hide it. He knows that's going on with you. He knows what's taking place. He's there for you. When Jesus is saying, Lord, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age, he's not like, I'm there with you, but only as it applies to Matthew 28:18-20. If that were true, then there wouldn't be all the text in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1-13, how he disciplines those he loves. You could probably testify, oh yeah, the Lord's disciplined me. Well, he only does that because he loves you. And so if he's challenging, if you're being challenged by the Lord and there's things in life you've got to get rid of, just be honest. Come before him. Seek his help. He will help you. He helps me every day. My list is only about 25,000 things, but it used to be 450,000 things. Come to the Lord. He will rescue you. Okay? All right. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. A short break, and then we'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Get your real estate agents here on sale. Only a dime a dozen. Step right up and get your agents.
What's going on here?
Real estate agents are in bloom here in Texas, so they're being offered only a dime a dozen.
Is this how real estate agents seem to you? A dime a dozen? Well, that's enough. Kimberly McQuinn, Realtor and Broker Associate with Fathom Realty, is not a dime a dozen real estate agent. Real estate isn't her hobby, it's her passion. With over 12 years of experience, Kimberly knows real estate isn't about selling, it's about the relationships. Get a free consultation by reaching out to Kimberly at turn2realtyteam.com. That's turn2realtyteam.com. Or call 903-484-6637. That's 903-484-6637. 903-48-HOMES. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or an experienced investor, whether you need a short sale or are looking for foreclosures, Kimberly is the quality you want and deserve for your real estate needs. Don't get the dime a dozen agent. Turn to the best. Turn to Kimberly.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
Here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I do want to let you know, if you want to reach out to us, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Also, david@hemustincrease.org. Many of you should be aware, we're doing this from my house.
It's really funny because my dog is
absolutely freaking out. So I'm talking, I'm in the office, and he's like pacing back and forth, trying to figure out what's going on. This is one of the reasons that I've never brought him into the studio, amongst many others. And so here's what we're doing. We're doing the best we can. We've got a phone system, a landline, tying right into the studio, and then I'm calling in, and we're hitting our breaks because Tiara and I are IMing together using a clock so we can make as much coordination as we can, still do the live read, still do all the teaching. I know it sounds a little bit like it's in a can, but for right now, that's okay. I'd rather have words of truth and people encouraged, and we've gotten several emails and several texts from people who are just superbly happy that we're doing it. And if you've got anything you want to share, or if you've got an email you want to send, david@hemustincrease.org, or you can go to hemustincrease.org, and there's a form that you can fill out. And if you fill out the form, they send me an email. It takes a couple extra hours, but not to fill out the form for me to get it. But it's not that big a deal because it's free, so I kind of like that. So the bottom line is, I just want to thank you for your patience and your love as we go through the process. Ask for your prayers, as I am praying for all of you each and every day, and really seeking the Lord to bless all that we're doing and that we would all draw closer to the Lord. Last thing I want to say is, we still have a trivia question on the table. The only way to answer it, unfortunately, is to text. I can't take a phone call or anything along those lines because I'm doing this on a phone line from my house. So you can text 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Pretty straightforward question. What was the country? Who were the enemies who took the Ark of the Covenant? Who were they? All I can say is they used to have one really, really, really big guy, but a smaller little king took care of him. 214-210-8483. If you think you know the answer, you're welcome to text the answer in regards to who the enemy was who took the Ark of the Covenant. Okay? Okay. Is that right?
It's all right.
I did order out of my own pocket a higher quality headset. I do not know if it will help at all. And if it won't, that's got to try it. Got to give it a roll. That's what we're doing. All right. I want to talk to you about this passage that I've come across three times in this last week. The same passage. And whenever that happens for me, it's like ding, 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 something's going on. Something is in process. So let me read you Acts chapter 20, basically verse 22 and 24, and then I'll share with you my thoughts on it. It says this, "And now I am on my way to Jerusalem, bound in my spirit, not knowing what I will encounter there, but I count my life, the value of myself, I count my life of no value, the value of myself as non-existent, so that I may finish my course and the ministry I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of God's grace." Let me read verse 24 again. "But I count my life of no value to myself, so that I may finish my course and the ministry I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of God's grace." And in verse 22, he says, "I'm not knowing what I will encounter there." So let me ask you this question real quickly. Tomorrow, do you know what you're going to encounter? Do you know what you will encounter? Okay, two people answered the question. The Philistines, yay! All right, Cordelia and Joanne, good job, yay! And it was the Philistines, by the way, that took the Ark of the Covenant. Excellent job. All right, so now here's what he says in verse 20. "Now I'm on my way to Jerusalem, bound in my spirit, not knowing what I will encounter." Did you get that? Not sure what's coming. So I'm going to ask you again. Do you know what's coming tomorrow? Do you know what's coming a week from now? I will tell you, no. There's not too many out there who would profess they knew 8 weeks ago that the whole world would be kind of in a lockdown. Doesn't matter what's coming. And that's one of the things that Paul said. He said, and this is in Acts, by the way. So when Paul wrote this, this is like the only epistle that's in Acts that comes from Paul. Otherwise, he has his other official epistles. He said, "I'm on my way to Jerusalem, bound in my spirit, not knowing what I will encounter." Guess what? You don't know. We don't often know what's around the corner. We just simply can know him who is around the corner. And that was good enough for him. That was good enough. And I think for us, everybody's like, "Well, what's it going to be? How's it going to happen? What's going to break down?" Here's the answer. I don't know. I know there's people out there doing the prophecy thing. I know there's people out there interpreting the signs and telling everybody what it is. Here's the answer. The truthful, real, biblical, gospel answer. Don't know. All I know is that we're supposed to make the most of every opportunity, and if you have extra time on your hands, you ought to be spending time with God. That I know. The other thing he says is this, "I count my life of no value to myself that I may finish my course." Yeah. Let me just make it simple. Do you ever go to a putt-putt? Do you ever do putt-putt? Okay. Usually it's 18 holes, 9 holes, and then 9 holes. And unless you cheat, then you did the 18 holes twice. Here's the bottom line. That's a putt-putt course. They lay out it for you. It's zany. You can make it in one stroke, two, three, or eventually throw the ball over the fence. Whatever you're going to do, guess what? You have a putt-putt course. The reason I say it's a putt-putt course is because it's so crazy sometimes. It's not like a normal race course because it's crazy, okay? But you have a course. I have a course. We have a course from God. We have a track. We have a map. We have a plan. We have a purpose. We have something that's going on. And look at what he says. He says, "I want to finish my course and the ministry I received." You know what? You have a ministry. you have a ministry you've received. And for him, for Paul, he's expressing, it's just the most passionate thing for me in my existence is to make sure I do that for which I was called, or to take hold of that for which I was taken hold of is his priority. And many people think, well, it must be family-oriented. It must be maybe oriented with friends. It must be oriented with the country. It must be oriented. I cannot answer that for you. But God has given you a ministry to receive and to function within, and he wants you doing it until there's no more doing it. And it doesn't just stop because you go, yeah, I'm tired. I'm not going to do that today. It's like, nah, that's not how this works. Okay? We know who's around the corner. We don't know what's around the corner. We know who's around the corner. And when we go around that corner, we go around that course, we take the ministry with us. In Paul's case, his ministry was straightforward to testify to the gospel of God's grace. I'd be surprised if everybody's ministry went too far beyond that simplistic statement, in the sense that we should be testifying, sharing, communicating in some way, shape, or form. You don't have to be an evangelist to do this. Some way, shape, or form. The good news of God's grace that comes through Jesus Christ. Jesus has got to be doing it in some way. Now, I always think when I say that there's probably 100 people out there going, I'm not Billy Graham. I'm not Billy Graham. I got to tell you, even Billy Graham said, I'm not Billy Graham the way that people portray him to be. Here's all you do. You do that DNA thing. You draw close to the Lord. You never be ashamed. You always be ready. That's what you do. And if the Lord just wants you to be praying for people, encouraging people, talking to people, then do that. And if the Lord wants you to make macaroni pictures, then do that. And if the Lord wants you to be praying for people that you don't necessarily always like, then do that. Or whatever it is the Lord has put in front of you, do that. But make it the passion. Because God didn't make you so that you can have an American life, die at 90, and then when it's all said and done, then you can try and go, well, I was Christian. And not do anything in the kingdom of God. It doesn't work that way. How it works is God calls you to his service first. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added to you. It's like, oh, so we make God and his kingdom our priority, and then he takes care of our priorities. Yes. That's right. Seek first the kingdom of God. And again, if you're not sure, come before the Lord and say, show me, teach me, guide me. That's what we should all be doing that, okay? All right, thank everybody. I want to thank everybody for texting. You guys were blessing. It was great that you texted on the answers. Philistines, you guys got the right answers. Yay! All right, we're going to do it all again, folks. Doing it all tomorrow. Keeping it simple. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. 23-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.